Today's guests are Nate and Cinnamon Little. So good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for being on our podcast.
It's good to be here.
We also have Nicole Kobzevich. She's really awesome. She's been doing a lot of podcasts lately. So it's nice to have her expertise on these things, and she knows what she's doing. So,
well, I really think it's because I like to ask questions.
She's very inquisitive. She
very
is.
Very inquisitive.
She is very inquisitive. So Nate and Cinnamon became part of our chamber, I think a year or so ago, at the Desire to Inspire event at the Gambrel in Berkshire. It's one of our annual events that Nicole has really championed. And basically, that's an event to try and inspire new business owners, which is also kind of a segment of what we're trying to do on this podcast. But Nate and Cinnamon, you guys do real estate, right?
Correct.
And what's the name of your business?
We're under the brokerage Next Home Kingdom.
Okay.
Out of Endwell.
Gotcha. Gotcha. And so you guys became familiar with our chamber through the Desire to Inspire event, right?
Actually, our broker, Carrie King, she was who said, hey, you guys need to get involved. She was a speaker.
Yeah, the first year.
The first year.
Yep. So. Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Gotcha. This just gets me up to speed and everything, but I know that you guys all know Nicole. Of course, Nicole knows everybody in Tioga County, and then outwards as well. How did you guys meet?
Oh, way back.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Through Scott, because yeah. Scott knew them first and foremost.
And also your brother and our son went to school together.
That's right. I forgot about that part of it. There's multiple connectors here. Gotcha. But it goes back decades. Because Scott and I have been married for 17 years.
Too far back to think about. Yeah.
We don't have to go. We don't have to go there all the way. But I guess it's kind of nice to know, how did you, what was your journey up to real estate? What were you doing before the real estate business? And how did you get started, I guess? Or what was the decision to get started in real estate?
Well, most of my working career, I've been involved in a family business, which was wholesaling cut flowers. And my dad started that back in 1964. So I grew up in that. My grandfather was Howard of Howard's Florist and Garden Center, which used to be on the Vestal Parkway a long time ago before Lowe's and Home Depot and any of that kind of stuff. So I grew up in a business-oriented family, started getting up and working. Our rite of passage, as soon as we hit, I have two other brothers, as soon as we hit junior high, my dad woke us up at 4:30 in the morning and took us into work and, would put a broom in our hands or we would be cutting flowers and then off to school and then sometimes coming back and doing work. So I've had a really great example, in my life as far as being entrepreneurial, business-oriented type things. To speed that up, so I spent probably 25 years in the family business.
Between, you also worked at Howard's Florist for many years.
Yes.
As well. So between the two family businesses.
And when my father retired, we were kind of wondering what we would be doing. And so what we did is we took the business and we took the client base that he had built up and ran it for another 9 years.
Yes.
And most of those 9 years we spent in Newark Valley at the storage units on Main Street. There was a large area that we put a cooler in and we would have trucks coming in from Miami and delivering flowers on a weekly basis.
Canada. A couple times a week.
Yep. So we did that for 9 years, and we sold the business to a large wholesaler out of New Jersey. We sold our customer list. They were buying up wholesalers in New York all over the place. And
we held out for a long time.
And we kind of saw the writing on the wall a little bit as far as wholesaling cut flowers. It was just getting harder and harder as lots of things do become that way for the smaller operator. and the larger operators were coming in and taking that. And so we sold. And then shortly after, I went and did some work for my son-in-law, who had a number of apartment units in Elmira area. And so I basically was doing property management. And during that time, it was when I became interested in real estate and getting a real estate license. And so in 2019, I finally did get my license and then started on the journey to real estate.
Matt, let's make a mental note that these guys might be really good to interview on business succession.
Yeah, succession planning. Absolutely.
Get on a second one.
Yeah, future conversation podcast, due. I believe. Part two, right?
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, it wasn't something really that we were looking for. It kind of just progressed that way as opportunities came. And I really didn't know much about real estate and the whole business of being an agent, but we did know service, and we did know, you know, helping people, sales, you know,
self-employment
strategy as far as business is concerned.
Our customers, you know, were
systems.
Our friends, so we,
yeah, customers,
you know,
were our
the
friends.
Relationship was a huge, mm-hmm.
yeah,
part of it.
Big mm-hmm. deal. Yep.
That's awesome. Lots of history there.
Yeah. So if I could just, not to get off sidetrack of what you're doing now, I'm just curious. So what kind of flowers were they in the shop? Cut flowers?
So we were wholesalers.
Okay, wholesalers.
So we supplied flowers to the local retail shops.
Okay.
So, you know, your Woodfern florists, your, you okay. know, different areas throughout Tioga County, Broome County. But when we were in business, we did PA still. We did have to scale back because now we mm-hmm. went from, gosh, what we had, I don't know, 12 plus employees at mm-hmm. his father's business to us.
Gotcha.
And then we did have a couple part-time folks that did help us out with deliveries and such. But we pretty much serviced the Finger Lake area.
Oh, nice. So good. Probably a pretty good wedding venues.
Yes.
Wedding venues. Mm-hmm. Yep. Definitely. It was definitely interesting because I always worked on I worked at his father's business as well. Since we lived in PA for a while, when we moved back in the area, I started working there. So I think around 2000.
Gotcha.
And so I was the bookkeeping, did that end of things. His dad started up a retail shop, so I kind of helped out with that, getting all that going, overseeing all the bookkeeping for that. So that was kind of where I lived. Mm. But when we started the business together, ended up taking over, I, of course, still handle that portion. But now I had to learn, I'm going to be doing the ordering because when he's out with, you know, delivering to the customers, doing, you know, he's out on the road all the time. So I did anything from scrubbing buckets
yeah.
to cutting flowers to ordering flowers to talking to the customers, sales, bookkeeping. So it was really interesting because, I mean, we literally bring in flowers in from around the world,
yeah,
and sourcing them pretty much out of Miami or out of California, out of Canada. It was definitely really interesting.
She kept the business going so I could get in the truck and go drive and visit the clients.
There's the operational yeah. side.
Teamwork.
Right?
Right.
So she was the operation, and you were the relationship management.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And he was, I mean, it is interesting because we do work real well together. A lot mm-hmm. of people say to us, I could never work my spouse, never work. And but we want to, we want to work together. And I think that also has driven us into the real estate together because of how we have worked well in the past and have worked together for so many years and want that freedom to do that.
So based on all of that history and experience, what sets you guys apart as real estate agents from others?
You get two for one.
Hey.
There you go. I think it's always nice, especially if you have one real estate agent, right? And sometimes they're only talking to you're showing a house with a spot, like a couple, and there's a male and only talking to the male.
Right.
Only pitching to the male. And it's kind of nice. Like you guys can both talk to each person's needs. Like, when I bought my house, I was like, oh, that's a great room for a bar. You know, right. That's pretty much all you needed to
right.
say to me.
Right.
But my wife, right, has other.
Yeah. Wants that nice kitchen.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
It's really great because it's complimentary. She is very much the social aspect of things. And it's great when, you know, if it is, you know, a female conversation, she's obviously much more qualified to carry on that conversation than I am. And so I'm more of the critical eye when I go into a house and I'm looking at things. And so that's kind of how people lean on me. But she's definitely the, you know, let's look at this. What about this room? What are the possibilities? And, you know, and that kind of thing. And lots of times the first connection as well, you know, as far as the real estate goes.
Because of like the inbound calls,
yeah.
right? Because she's already manning the office while you're, if you're out doing something or if you're both out, right?
Yeah.
We try to go together as
much
as possible.
She's just better on the phone than I am.
Gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha.
No, it's not true.
That's why I was always out with a client face to face, you know, because people would meet me and it was kind of always an inside joke. They're like, man, it's nice to meet you face to face because talking to you on the phone, I just wasn't, you know, sure. wasn't sure.
Isn't that funny how sometimes yeah. like there's phone skill people and then there's face to face skill people, and like
yeah,
I'm a huge advocate of in person interaction because
yeah.
you can read so much more and
yeah.
there's you're communicating so much more.
100%.
I prefer mm-hmm. it. Yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it sounds like you guys are the dynamic duo. So like where Cinnamon is weak, Nate is strong. Where
yes.
Nate is weak, Cinnamon is strong, and that's actually a beautiful thing, and that's should be the replication of marriage too, right?
Yes. Right.
So that's mm-hmm. awesome.
But that is the truth. Any day, any type of marketing, any type of, you know, working on contracts, he's free, guess mm-hmm. who's going to do it?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's not my strong suit. I don't enjoy that.
Mm-hmm.
But let me do the scheduling. Let me contact the client. Let me make sure, follow up with the lawyers. Let me do, you know,
make
any follow
notes.
Up, the
mm-hmm.
you know, administrative.
Yep.
I'm all on board.
Nice.
So it does work really well because, it you know, you're not fighting over who mm-hmm. wants to do what.
Oh, yeah.
We have our lanes.
Yeah. Yeah. You guys have each other's SWOT analysis, you know, right there. You know what your lane is and stick
yeah.
to
yeah.
it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how has this past year been for you guys? Because with interest rates being what they are, and it seems like the markets have been strong, the housing market's been strong, but what have you guys been seeing? Have you guys been really busy?
We've actually been a little less busy this year
okay.
than we were last year. Not to say that we, like right now, we're in a season where we've got a lot of irons in the fire.
Mm.
Buyers, sellers, you know, we're taking people out, going looking, we're managing contracts. And it's funny with real estate, you have these times where you'll have a dip and you're like, hello, anybody out there? You know,
mm-hmm.
it's crickets. And I mean, this has been our experience anyway. And then you have times where you're like, holy smoke, somebody needs to turn the faucet off because, you know, it's raining real estate and it's hard to keep up at the moment.
The ebbs
you know?
And flows.
Yes, the ebbs and flows of business. But as far as the market goes this year, yeah, interest rates have definitely played a part in making people think harder mm-hmm. about whether they want to purchase or not. Now, the thing of it is, if you look at the history of mortgage rates compared to where they are right now, we're really not in a bad place. The thing that threw people more than anything else was the sweep up that was so fast from when we were at 2 point, you know, whatever. Some people were able to lock in at,
mm-hmm.
you know, just two. Mm-hmm. A ton of people locked in under 5. And we went so quickly mm-hmm. to 8, you know, and then,
mm-hmm.
you know, started tapering down and, you know, to the point of now where we're actually seeing people with good credit able to get like a 5.5.
5.75.
5.75 if you have good credit. That's not bad.
That's not, no.
You know, Our issue here, especially in Broome and Tioga County, which we can speak to because that's kind of our stomping grounds, is inventory, because we don't build. So everybody is looking at existing inventory. Mm-hmm. There's nothing new.
Yeah.
You know, and so when I checked the inventory this morning, we were at, for our entire Greater Binghamton Association of Realtors, we were right around like 335. So that's Broome and Tioga County, and outside of the scope of those counties as well. There's a few others that are involved. So like Broome County has about 200 listings, residential. So I'll clear that up. That's single-family homes, residential. Mm-hmm. Broome County has about 200 for all the persons who might be interested in looking at, and that runs the scope from a $35,000 rec that needs to be rehabbed to $1 million palace, you know.
Mm-hmm. Which are few and far between.
Which are few and far in between, but we do have them. Mm-hmm. And then in Tioga County, we have around 50 listings. So, you know, you can have a lot of eyes, and that's the reason why our inventory, the pricing has stayed up. In 2019, you had a average list price of under $130,000. Yeah. Right now, we're at like, it's almost $100,000 more.
Mm-hmm. Like you were saying, like 220.
Average list price around 220.
Yeah, I can be an example. Sorry to cut you off.
Oh, that's okay.
I can be an example for that. So yeah. In 2020, July 2020, we bought our house in Endicott.
During COVID.
Yeah, and the house didn't quite, you know, we were able to put in an offer, but it was just like a family who inherited the house. And it was like 1,800 square feet and half an acre. We bought it for $117,000 with an interest rate of 3.5%. And while the kitchen is super small and there's things that I'm like, I can't financially justify going out and selling this house for maybe 150 or 160 just to buy something similar for 180 or 190 or whatever.
And to trade the mortgage rate. Yeah, if you can find one and trade the mortgage rate, you know, that you have for, you know, something that's 2-3, you know, points higher.
Right. So I think that's the dilemma.
Yep.
Absolutely.
With inventory.
Absolutely.
And I don't know, other than getting the interest rate back, or I don't, prices need to come down. I know there's still a lot of young people waiting in line to buy a house because if you look at rent, rent's also surged.
Yes.
Because of the inability to buy homes.
Yeah.
Right. So do you feel like, what do you think? Do you think that like retirees in the area leaving, not wanting to pay New York State school tax anymore might open up more opportunities for buyers? Or what do you think might be a couple of factors that could help accelerate inventories and purchasing again in this area? Do you have any ideas or?
Well, we've actually talked about this in meetings. Real estate agents have gotten together, and just recently we were with the mayor of Binghamton.
Okay.
At the Binghamton Club.
This is a commercial meeting.
Yeah, and this was a commercial meeting, but it also kind of bled over into residential and that kind of thing.
Commercial lending, as in like spaces for businesses to rent and lease and buy. Okay, gotcha.
Right. And we also talked, you know, about rentals and, you know, some of the things that have been going on in Binghamton that have been adopted as far as some of the rules and regulations as far as renting is concerned. But what he said, and I think is true, and, you know, because the same question was posed to him, how do we, you know, loosen up some inventory? And it's got to be every facet that we possibly can. You know, I mean, certainly it can be retirees moving out and that kind of thing. But housing doesn't necessarily have to be single family. It can be, you know, rental builds. But it needs to be all of it. We do need to find possibly areas where more neighborhoods could be built. The problem is in Broome and Tioga County specifically, that's difficult to find.
But I think we have the land for it, don't you agree?
We do have land.
Do we have the wages, though?
The wages, that, you know, does present a problem. We have a lot of service industry in the area. So, you know, because of the prices of homes, it does make it difficult, you know, for the person entering the market. Mm-hmm. But another huge issue is that when you build new, your taxes can be as much as 3 times as much as if you were to buy an existing home.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So, you know, if you're looking at a home that is $5,000-$6,000 in taxes, which is quite normal for a lot of our area, and frankly is, you know, probably low on the average. If you were to build new, you're probably going to be paying between $15,000 and $20,000 in taxes annually for that same square footage.
And that makes up most of your payment, taxes right. and insurance. Yeah. That's
right. And it never goes down.
No.
If someone comes to us and says, hey, I have a you know, land I'm looking to buy, I'd like to build. One of our first things to say to them is, okay, have you checked on what that's going to be, the cost mm-hmm. to even build there and your taxes?
Yeah.
And they usually haven't. Mm. So that's definitely a big starter.
And when they do, they go, oh.
Okay, maybe I'll check out the ones you sent over to me as options.
I used to work in a local credit union, and I used to do help people with mortgage applications and go over debt to income. And a lot of people focus in on what the price is of the home. But to what you just said, I said what you really have to look at is where you are going to live and what those taxes and insurance are, because the mortgage and interest might only be $400 or $500 a month, but the taxes on top of that, plus when you go to close, you need to pay a year ahead, right?
Yep. Yep.
And you get
PMI
all that
insurance needed, your homeowner's insurance, all that brings your payment up a lot.
The cash to close, right? Yep. And so could you talk us through a little bit about, and I'm sorry because Nicole, she prepared for this and I didn't, and I'm hijacking the podcast.
That's okay.
But please cut me off if you have anything you want to send in there. But what, like, when you guys work with new clients, and they're looking to buy a house for the first time, how do you help guide them with that and what they need to be prepared for?
Well, first, what we like to do, we prefer a face-to-face sit-down talk if possible.
Step one.
Step one. Mm-hmm. And if they can't, like, you know, right now we're working with a couple that's moving here from Indiana. Obviously, there's circumstances that can't happen to where we'll do a Zoom meeting or something of that sort. But we'd like to have a sit down because there's a lot more involved with buying a house now than even a year ago. So we have that first meeting, find out what they're even looking for, find out when they want to purchase, kind of to look at a timeline. We go over what's called a buyer's agreement now that is required. This is something that's come up new the last year, and Nathan is really good at explaining that. But to continue on more of what we talk about, financing is huge. So we always encourage people to go by their budget, what they need to stay within, because as you know, then from working in the bank end of things, you'll get that pre-qual letter back that says you can afford a $250,000 home, but can you really? So you really need to budget.
You
and
wanna
look.
Be house broke.
You
right.
don't want to be house broke. Do you want to go out and eat once in a while?
Yeah. How much?
We'll give you a loan for this, but doesn't mean you should take it.
Right. Yeah. How much time are you going to spend in this house?
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. There's a lot of determining factors. If this is just a starter home, I only mm-hmm. want to be here 5 years. You know, you want to know that you have not put all these closing costs mm-hmm. and all these things you put down payment, everything that you did. And then not be able to get that back out and hopefully some equity as well. So that's kind of the beginning part. We instruct them on possible, if they don't have a current lender or never had a mortgage before, then we can give them advice on some places to try. Usually we always say start at your local bank at first.
Local's always best.
Local mm-hmm. is best. And then we have other suggestions we will help them with and guide them with. And we do recommend they get that pre-qualification before we start.
Okay.
It's only fair to mm-hmm. them and us because we don't want to be showing them a $300,000 home when really they only can qualify for $200,000 because now their expectations have...
You have to know, right? You can't waste each other's time like that.
Mm-hmm. And to present an offer that has teeth, you have to be able to show the seller that obviously you can afford the house.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, so, yep.
So on, so that's like the introduction, step one, two, but do you go over with them at all, or do you leave this to the mortgage broker or bank? Like, hey, you need to make sure you can have this much money available in the bank for these things, or?
We will tell them that they will require that, okay. But our lane needs to legally stay within the real estate lane.
Okay, gotcha.
So we are advisory positions okay. on certain things,
cool.
But we do have to say you need to go to your XYZ lender. Ask them this.
Mm.
A lot of times they want to see when you make that first, when you close, they want to know perhaps you have 3 months of income available to make a payment, or at least a next, you know, a certain amount. So
yeah. There's a lot of do's and don'ts in that process that people.
Yeah, don't go buy a car.
Yeah,
don't go.
You don't.
While you're in escrow. Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to pull your credit again. And if you've taken out any new debt or anything. So this is a really, I'm going to let Nicole take a lane here. And, do you guys deal with a lot of people like not knowing how much they should put for a down payment? And do you ever, is it within your abilities to, you know, help steer people with, oh, I want to do 5% or I want to do 20% on the PMI? And Nicole, do you have experience at all with like helping talk people through that as far as like, well, you're not, your 20% down payment, it's PMI insurance is like a hundred, like how much that is and what the opportunity cost is for putting down that much on a house. Do you guys ever have those conversations?
Most of the time, honestly, the people that we are working with, they're going to have to put down the minimum amount.
Okay.
A lot of them do need government-backed loans to help get their first home, possibly, or
like the FHA loans,
FHA
or VA,
VA loans. So
USDA.
USDA.
Once in a while.
Yep, we've done.
So you do
couple.
Very like the conventional 5% down is not as common.
Not as common. There's a lot of different products out there that a lot of the banks do offer. So it does help people with lower down payments or even help with closing costs now, which I think is also showing what we need as far as, you know, our buyers out there right now, what they're looking at needing the extra help with. And not saying that, and there's still a lot of cash buyers out there too.
Yeah, the bulk of our transactions in this area are conventional and cash.
Woo woo.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm all for that one.
Yep. Cash buyers, are they people from around here? Or are they coming up from, are they ex, you know, they're people from around here?
Yeah.
Yeah. That. Yeah. I mean, it's both.
Well, I'm just thinking, I always
Matt's
hear that
stunned.
There's people from like New Jersey trying to buy up all the property or whatever.
There's both, you know, but if you've built up equity over a period of time
okay.
and then you cash out, maybe you downsize, you know, or something like that. Maybe you've got a $300,000 house, you cash out, and then maybe you downsize to something that's, you know, two bedrooms or whatever, you know, empty nester type of a thing.
I've actually had quite a few, at least five clients of mine, sell their asset, meaning their home, to offload all of their debt to create a clean slate and then learn how to move forward with financial health.
Yeah.
Those are some of my big top debt payoff.
Yeah.
Success stories. Not that anybody wants to have to do that,
right.
But it is an opportunity. It is an asset, you know, and so that's a wonderful thing. But back to your question, Matt, regarding my conversations with clients as far as getting them prepared to buy a home, we do a ton of education. So a lot of times people are coming to me already drowning, right? So keep that in mind. But we will get to the financial literacy about mortgages and what's the best way of going about that versus better and fair way of going about that. But we recommend is 20% down, 15-year fixed. And that is after you have no consumer debt and have a 3 to 6 months worth of emergency fund. Now, you might think that that's really unrealistic, Nicole, but if you are patient, you will go into that home ownership with a whole lot more peace and confidence than as if you go into that home ownership without any of that in place. Oh, and by the way, your first year, your septic went. Good luck.
Yeah.
That, 'cause I mean, home ownership is not cheap. Even when we talk about paid off mortgages, I did an assessment when we paid off our mortgage and what we spent in that year on top of property tax and school tax that never go away back to the taxes. Right. Mm-hmm. So even if the mortgage is gone, you still have that property tax, which is why it's super important to know that.
Yep.
But to see what we spent in 1 year's time just in maintenance and upkeep on top of our property tax and school tax bill, and it was flabbergasting.
Yeah.
And people need to know this. And so I'm very thorough as a coach. I want them to know fully what they're getting themselves into and turning over every rock. So it's an opportunity to teach, because I feel like knowledge is power. And when they have that knowledge, they can make better decisions for themselves or pass it on to their legacy with their children and equip them with literacy about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Home ownership goes way beyond the mortgage payment and paying the taxes.
Yeah.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's just about
getting... It is a good investment.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's
absolutely
one of the best investments. So.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Because it doesn't lose... It holds value, right? It's a nice way to diversify even for retirement, to be honest.
Yes.
You know, so a paid off mortgage is a great way to do that.
Yep.
Yep.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Cool, cool. So... what kind of things do you guys do, activities as far as for marketing your business and growing your client base? Are there any?
I'm going to let Nate take this. Seems he is the marketing expert for us.
I would say marketing is a tricky thing. What most people will gravitate towards is what's the easiest, most frictionless way that I can promote myself, my business. And in general, that looks like Facebook ads, posting on social media, sending out postcards, those kind of things. But what we've found works the best is actually being out among people and having conversations.
Mm-hmm. Connection.
Yep. Connection.
Relationship business.
Yep. Yep. It's not to say that those other things don't work, but what you're attracting when you do those kind of things, like a Facebook ad or social media posting, unless you're very, very directed in the way that you are posting, and maybe you're commenting frequently on friends' posts and that kind of a thing to basically say, hey, I'm here, I'm in your corner, I support you, hey, that's great, you know, all of that kind of stuff. But most of the time, those kind of marketing avenues are what they call top of funnel. And it takes a long time to develop that relationship when it's top of funnel. It can take, you know, 6 months, a year, because maybe somebody's just kind of dipping their toe in. They don't know. They're curious. And so you're developing a relationship that entire time. Now, that's fine. Mm-hmm. I think you have to have those things. But the biggest return is definitely having the conversations, you know, and we've made a few changes. I've put myself in a position at a part-time job where I'm driving and I'm with other persons while we're driving and then picking up cars and bringing them back to a car dealership and that kind of thing. And so I've had the opportunity to strike up conversations with persons that is not forced. You know, it's there's no monologue.
It's organic.
Yeah, it's organic. And it's great. It's fantastic, you know, to just have those conversations. Well, what do you think about this? I got this house. My aunt left it to me, and we're wondering what we should do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, would you be able to come and take a look at it, you know, and that kind of a thing. And I mean, and that's where Cinnamon really shines too, is having the organic conversations. And she's got we've both got different spheres, you know. We've got spheres that overlap, but we also have separate spheres. So, I mean, I think that's really the best place to be as far as marketing goes.
And I think the important thing to remember too is someone buying or selling a home,
It's a huge deal.
Well, it's a huge deal, but it's not a common occurrence. Mm.
That's right.
You know, you're not like going to replace that shampoo you just ran out of. Right. Or, you know, this could be where you might only work with a client twice in your whole entire career because they bought that one home. They've lived in it 30 years, and maybe now they're coming back.
And people are staying in their homes longer than ever. You know, so it becomes even more infrequent.
So really that, you know, good customer service, that good relationship, giving that referral that they go to their neighbor, their friend, you know, whatever, that, hey, I'm going to be listing my home. Who do you suggest?
Yeah.
You know, that's honestly the best.
Word of mouth is the best marketing.
Yeah.
And you get that. You earn that. Referrals are earned, right?
Yeah.
Couple more questions, guys, then we'll wrap up for the day here. But I have one question, and maybe you have an answer off top ahead, maybe you don't. But is there a success story that you guys have with clients that has really hit home for you personally and stuck with you, or any one scenario that you thought like, wow, this one really meant a lot, or was a heck of a process, or any special ones?
I don't know. I feel like they're all special to a certain degree.
Okay.
There's definitely harder transactions than others, and it necessarily doesn't have anything to do with your client. It's just maybe more of a struggle with financial things, with or inspections, just
title,
you know,
search, or whatever.
Yeah, something's just, you know, I think, I don't know if I can just name one.
It's okay if you don't have one.
But. You know, I'm just thinking, you know, quite often, you know, we'll get a, what do you want to call it? Like a, not a referral, but a, you know, like what you just got from.
A lead?
No. Where you have someone who gives you
a testimony.
Thank you. The word was
a review.
Yeah.
Testimony.
So we do get those on occasion, and sometimes you don't realize.
Yeah.
We'll just bring up one that happened that was a little bit harder of a transaction because this particular gentleman was working out of state across country. So it was a time difference. It was the fact he never physically saw this home. Trying to get things done in the timely manner was hard because he was in the field and maybe not even to where he had cell service, computer, anything to be able to do the documentation that needed to be done. And he, you know, just Nathan just received a very nice testimonial from this gentleman that was very complimentary.
Gotcha.
And that sometimes you don't realize that you've gone through all this and okay, you've met the goal. They got their home or sold their home, whichever. But when you get that back, you realize, wow, I guess I did achieve.
And the reason
why
this young man called me in the first place to help him find a house is because I helped his brother find a house.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
His brother lives in the area. And, you know, and so he told his brother, hey, if you're going to be purchasing a house in this area, because he's out of state, wants to move back, you know, lived in this area originally. He said, you got to talk to Nate, you know. And so that's how the whole relationship started. But, yeah, it was a difficult transaction. I would say my favorite lane, but it can be difficult, and where I kind of find a lot of, like, reward is in helping the first-time home buyer.
I was going to agree the same thing.
It's just such a pleasure to hand them the keys at closing, and they're excited.
Such a milestone for people's lives.
Such a milestone.
Right? Like, you get to be part of that.
And I'm sure you guys remember your first home and what it meant for you.
Yeah.
And so there's a little bit of internal relation there.
Right.
That's awesome. We could spend another hour asking a ton of questions.
You guys have been awesome.
Too. I have a lot more questions to ask, but maybe on a part two or part three. Obviously, as we talked about, you know, maybe you guys would be great for business succession. But to leave on a fun note, I would like both of you to share one fun fact that perhaps your clients don't know about you. You know, like something like you could wiggle your ears and they don't know or something like that.
I only know a fun fact about you.
maybe you guys do that exchange.
That works.
Okay, so.
Oh, jeez.
Nate's worried.
Put me on the spot.
Fun fact about Nathan is back when we were first married, he was pursuing country music.
Oh, brother.
So we had multiple trips down to Nashville where he did participate in a contest. Actually, the contest was local up in our area in Waverly. He won that contest, which took him down to Nashville to compete. This is all before American Idol and, you know, all those things that
now
came
you're
going
to have to sing something before you leave.
So he went down to Nashville, and out of, I don't remember how many contestants there were. Do you? I don't know. It was a lot. Because we actually, he did his performance and we left. I thought it was like that many. Mm-hmm. Mm. And then came back for, you know, when they thought they'd be closing it. And he won.
Wow.
So one of his prizes was a recording session, but then also he got to sing on the Grand Ole Opry.
Oh, wow. That's so awesome.
You know, he got to sing on that special circle in the Opry.
Wow.
And,
yeah.
Maybe this is the revamp of a music career.
No.
You know?
He changed very quickly that.
It would actually have to be the start of a music career because I never had one.
Star is born.
Yeah.
That's pretty neat.
Yeah.
Nate, what do you got for Cinnamon?
Well, I'll kind of play on the in the same avenue that she's playing. And we both have music backgrounds, you know, to a degree. And she was first trumpet in high school, which I think is pretty amazing. For anybody that's ever tried to blow into a trumpet or a trombone, you know, one of those brass instruments and make it work.
Yeah.
Of course, you see a lot of shows where, you know, kids are trying to do it and it doesn't work. But she was first trumpet for how many years in Newark Valley?
I think by junior and senior year.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, we've kind of joked. I still do music on a regular basis every weekend at our local church. But Cinnamon says, you know, or I'm like, oh, boy, the trumpet part right here would be really nice. And
my trumpet days, my trumpet got passed on to my children, then my nephew, and it's seen better days. So
yeah.
I
and she said, my lips, there is no
There's
way.
No lip left.
That's
However,
awesome.
I would love to pick it up again, but, you know, not at the top of my time.
Very cool.
I feel like every band needs someone who could play the saxophone.
Oh, see, I wanted to play saxophone. And my music teacher would, because we had a jazz band as well. He always wanted me in jazz band. I said, well, I'll be in jazz band, but I want to play the saxophone. No, you'll ruin your lip. You can't do it. I said, well, then I guess I can't be in jazz band.
I feel like every signature moment in any classic rock song has got a good saxophone, like Bob Seger, Jerry Rafferty.
Yep.
Yeah, that would be.
Well, he wants the horn section because of Chicago. You know, he wants it for that.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for being vulnerable for a minute.
Yeah,
that's awesome, you guys.
And also, thank you for doing what you do. You know, buying and selling a house can be overwhelming, so it's nice to have pros to help you walk through that process and make sure that all your T's are crossed and your I's are dotted. Seriously.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure.
Yep.
Thanks for talking business with us today, guys. If someone were to be looking for a home and needed to reach out to you, how could they reach you?
I think the easiest way would be you could email us at 607realty@gmail.com.
Gotcha.
Or you could log on to our site at 607realty.com.
Awesome.
And you could find all of our information there.
Excellent.
Thanks, Nate and Cinnamon Little. Everybody, you guys have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Thank you.